Hi, you're listening to a message from Forward Church. We hope this message inspires and empowers you to move forward.
And as we head into the beginning of a year, out of a year that was unexpected, it's been very significant as the Lord has begun to speak to us around what He has for us in 2021. See, I don't know if you know this or not, but God is always speaking. The question is, are we listening? God is always speaking. There's no shortage of word. There's no shortage of revelation. The question is, are we still enough? Can we be silent enough to hear what God is saying? And today we're going to continue on our theme, our declaration over the year 2021, our prophetic statement, the year of open heaven. Okay, I need you to say that with me. I need you to preach with me this morning. The year of... Okay, I need you to turn to the person next to you that wasn't really kind of as passionate as you are and say it to them. Say it loud, nice and loud in their ear. One, two, three. The year of... Yeah. Genesis chapter 28, verse 10. We're going to read a story about a man named Jacob. Jacob was the grandson of a man named Abraham, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 28 that... In verse 10, Jacob left Beersheba and he set out for Haran. I need somebody to know that God often doesn't speak until you leave where you come from to go to where God is taking you. Sometimes you've got to leave some things behind. Truth is, all of us have lost some things and left some things behind in order to be and do what God's called us to do. It goes on in verse 11. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. And taking one of the stones there, he put it under the bed and under his head, and he lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God ascending and descending. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, the God of your father Isaac. And he says, I will give you and your descendants the land which you are lying on. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth. You will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All people on earth shall be blessed through you. Turn to someone next to you and say, he's talking to me right now. See, God not only wants to bless you, but he wants to bless everybody through you. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I'm with you. Someone shout, he's with me. And will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I've done what I promised to do. Somebody here had a dream a long time ago. And maybe you thought that that dream was not going to happen. That thing was, maybe you went through disappointments and it didn't come about the way you thought it would. Your life is going in a different direction to perhaps what you hoped. I want you to know that the Lord will deliver what he promised to you. He will deliver it. And when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, the gate of heaven. Now understand that Jacob was raised by his grandfather Abraham. Abraham, the Bible tells us, is the father of the faith. In other words, Jacob grew up in a Christian home. Jacob grew up in an environment where they talked about God, they spoke scriptures, they sung songs about God, and here he is, the grandson of Abraham, Father Abraham, and here he is, he's in a place where God is, and he doesn't even know it. Did you know that it's possible to be in a place where God is and not even know it? Did you know that it's possible, even in a room like this, it's possible for one person to receive a miracle and for another person to receive nothing? Do you know it's possible right now that you are living under an open heaven and you don't even know it? See, the thing with not knowing that we live under an open heaven is that when you don't know that there are certain things that are yours, you ask God for things that are already yours. It'd be like my daughter's coming up to me and say, Daddy, I'm hungry. Then comes up to me, 5 minutes later, Daddy, I'm hungry. Comes up to me again 5 minutes later, Daddy, I'm hungry. It would annoy me because there's food in the cupboard. And I put the food in there for the children's needs. The children never have to ask their father to provide for their needs, because I already know what their needs are and I've provided it. And I want you to know too that your Heavenly Father knows your needs. You don't have to ask Him for what is already yours. Healing is already yours. Blessing is already yours. Provision is already yours. You don't have to ask God for something that He's already given to you. And so here he is, Jacob. Here he is. He's in the presence of God and he doesn't even know it. I would hate for you to leave today and not know that you have an open heaven. I would hate for you to walk through your Christian journey and not know all of the supply and all of the riches of glory that are provided for you. I wouldn't want you to have the best gift in the world and never open it. And God wants you to live under an open heaven. Somebody shout open heaven. See, what's heaven like? The Bible tells us in Revelation that in heaven all things are new. Did you know in heaven you get a new body? How many thanking the Lord for that? Yes. I'll trade in this one. Yes, I'll get a brand new one. You get a new body. In heaven, there's no pain. Amen for that. In heaven, there's no sickness. In heaven, there's no disease. In heaven, there's no illness. In heaven, there's perfect peace. Amen. What we need today is peace. The peace of God that transcends all understanding, guard our hearts and minds. There's peace in heaven. And then when Jesus came, the book of Matthew chapter 3. See, that open heaven was not accessible to us until this passage of scripture where Matthew chapter 3 verse 16, Jesus was baptized and immediately he went up from the water and behold, the heavens were open to him. And I want you to know, my friend, that when the heavens were open to Jesus, they became open to you. And the heavens opened. And he saw the Spirit of God ascending and descending like a dove and coming to rest upon him. Is it possible today that we are living life without an awareness that God is actually moving? Is it possible that even right here, right now, there may be challenges that you are walking through, but is it possible that even those challenges you're facing right now are nothing compared to the challenges that once were? Isn't it true that we may not have everything we want today, but we're a lot further on than where we used to be? Is it possible that although there are a bunch of things that perhaps are outside of our understanding, is it possible that right now you are already living under an open heaven? And so, if we all live under an open heaven, if we've all been given the grace to live under an open heaven, then perhaps it's not about what God has done, it's about what we do. See, today, I want to put it to you that maybe it's not about what God said, it's maybe it comes down to two things that we do. Because we can either respond or we can react. Sheffield, come over here. How many love Sheffield? Oh, and by the way, our young people had an incredible outdoor movie night on Friday night. Can we put our hands together? And Sheffield's got some horses, and they had horses there. It was amazing. And see, when it comes to an open heaven, when it comes to the purpose and will of God for your life, we can either respond or we can react. See, when it comes to responding, put your hands out like that. See, whenever there's a response, we put our hands out like that. And we can live in response. The word response implies calculation. It's deliberate. It's intentional. It's strategic. I'm responding. During times of crisis, you know, earthquakes and, fires, there is an emergency response. We respond. We find the challenge and we respond to that challenge. And responding always brings solutions. Or the other thing we can do is that we can live life by reaction. We end up like that. Good. See, some of us live life by reaction. Oh, no, that happened. I'm not going to do it like that. I'm never going to be like that. How many parents have ever said you're never going to be like your parents? And one day you hear your parent coming out of your mouth. We live in reaction. And see, reaction implies emotion. It's irrational. Oftentimes, reactions lead to regret. When we react without thinking, without waiting, without praying, we often make wrong choices and come to regret the things that we've done. Well, today I want to give it up for Sheffield. Today I want to give you three things when it comes to living under an open heaven. Number one, are you ready for it this morning? I said, are you ready for it this morning? About 50% of the people are ready for it this morning. I said, are you ready for it this morning? Three keys to living under an open heaven. Number one, live in response to God, not reaction to darkness. Live in response to God, not reaction to darkness. What do I mean by that? So often we're consumed with the darkness that all we're trying to do is get away from it. And if you're a person who lives your life reacting to darkness, then your life changes all the time. You live your life from crisis to crisis. There's uncertainty. There's like, you know, one minute you're here, one minute you're there. One moment you're working in this job, next moment you're working in that job. One moment you're with this person, next moment you're with this person. I'm not talking to anybody in this church. Many of us live our life in reaction. That happened to me before in the last church, so I'm not going to do that here. This person said that to me. This man did this to me. And so that's it. I'm going to live a response to that, and I'm not going to trust any men. Or we can live in response to God. In other words, God, I don't understand everything that's going on right now in the world, but God, I trust you, and what would you have me do? The circumstance happened, and I don't understand it. I don't know what to do. But God, whatever you want me to do. See, instead of reacting, we respond. And I want to encourage you today, respond to God. Whatever God is saying to you, respond to that. Respond to God. Here's what happens when you respond to God. God speaks to you more. Why? Because now all of a sudden your focus is off the darkness and your focus is now on God. Did you know? The Bible says in Isaiah 61, arise, shine, for the light has come. Love that passage of Scripture. And the glory of the Lord has risen. The glory of the Lord rises upon you. And then it goes on and it says, darkness was over the earth, deep darkness. And one passage of Scripture, arise, shine, the light has come. But there's darkness. There's always going to be darkness. But you don't focus on the darkness. You focus on the rising, shining light. And when we focus on the light, arise, shine, for the light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen. Even though there's darkness, respond to God, not react to darkness. Somebody shout amen right there. Number two, the second key. Live in response to truth and not reactions to lies. How many of you have ever thought that somebody perhaps was speaking about you? And then you get angry with them, have a conversation in your mind about them. Then you discover they did not say that thing at all. Come on. I know this happened to none of you in this room. And then all of a sudden, you found yourself wasted energy, wasted emotion over something that was a lie. The Bible tells us that the devil is the father of lies. His native language is lies. He just lies, 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 lies. And so many of us get caught up in reacting to the lie. You're not good looking enough. You're not smart enough. You'll never be good enough. You're too old. You're too young. You're too tall. You're too short. We can react to these lies. But I want you to know that the safest place in the world is not in lies, it is in truth. For they shall know the truth, the Bible says, and that truth shall set them free. Recently, I started noticing some things happening in my body. I started to get upset stomachs all the time, and, you know, it was affecting my sleep. Because I'm a man, I didn't do anything about it. Truth is, it's been going on probably for about 6 months. And every day, I don't say anything to anyone. I'm not going to tell anyone, not going to tell my wife, it's just me. And then what happens is then you Google, and Google's the worst thing to do. Because when you go Google, you know, you might have a stomach cramp. Next moment, you know, you got a terminal disease. And I Googled, and all of a sudden, now I'm starting to think this stuff. Months go by, and it's getting worse and worse. And now, oh my gosh, I don't know what's wrong with me. And I've always been healthy. There's something wrong with me. And this lie begins to, you know, sort of regurgitate in your mind. There's something wrong with you. You're gonna fall over and die. Something's gonna happen to you. I just begin to regurgitate this lie. And then finally, I went to the doctor. When I went to the doctor, she did a blood test. I discover that in fact, I do not have a disease. I have a gluten allergy. I am gluten free. I said to her, "How do you know I'm gluten free?" She says, "Do you blow your nose?" I said, "Sometimes." And if you know me, I blow my nose all the time. There's tissue boxes in every single room in my house. There are tissues, and there are, at the end of the service, there's all these tissues on the floor. The poor people have to pick them up, and they've got, you know, I've left some deposits in those tissues for them. And I said, "How long have I been gluten-free?" She says, "Your whole life." I have been blowing my nose my entire life. Thought that was normal. Now I discover the truth. That's not normal at all. Some of us have been holding on to things that are normal our whole lives and not knowing it's a lie. When I went to the doctor, she told me the truth. I'm like, yes. And you know what happened that day? The truth set me free. Hey, friend, I want to encourage you. Get some people around you that you can talk to, be real with. I'm your pastor. I've got people around me that I talk to, that I get real with. They can ask me questions. I invite them. Ask me anything you want. I want to encourage you. Don't peddle lies. Don't peddle lies. Don't react to lies, but respond with truth. Somebody shout amen. Number three, live in response to purpose and not reactions to fear. You'd be shocked at the number of people who want to do things, but they're afraid of what other people might think. Let me encourage you, friend. If they're real friends, they'll love what you're doing. And if they don't love what you're doing, then you don't need them to be your friend. You want to get yourself around some people who are going in the direction that you want your life to go in. Don't live in reaction to fear. Live in response to purpose. Lord, wake up in the morning and say, "Lord, what's my purpose?" And I promise you this, if you get busy responding to purpose, you'll discover who you were always made to be. I promise you, when you discover your purpose, it's not hard to get out of bed in the morning. If you find it hard to get out of bed in the morning, then maybe you've just lost your purpose. By the way, it's easy to lose it, but it's easy to get it back. Respond to purpose, not reaction to fear. One of the greatest dreamers in the Bible was a man named Joseph. Joseph stands up, he says, "All of you guys are going to bow to me." And you know, his younger brothers all loved him because of that. And then, of course, he goes through all this turmoil, 13 years in prison. All of a sudden, at the end of it, after 13 years, he comes out and he's the prime minister of Egypt. I want you to know that if you've got a dream, no person can stop it. No enemy can stop it. If you've got a purpose, the only one that stops it is you. But if you say yes, then God always does the rest. Recently, I was, just this week, in fact, I was driving along Dreamwood here on the highway. And I was driving along, merging onto the highway. And as I'm merging onto the highway, there's a car behind me. And then as I'm just about to get onto the highway merge, I hear a beep, beep, a loud beep. Right? Now, I look in the mirror because I think someone's beeping at me. It's very close. I look behind me. It's not the car behind me. There's another car on the left outside of my view that is trying to merge in. And you know, just in case you don't know the road code rules, when you're merging, there's supposed to be like a ziplock, you know. You know, when you're merging, two cars coming side by side, you're supposed to let each other in, you know. But the guy behind me, he wasn't having a bar of it. He was saying, he was right on my tail. This car's trying to get in, right? And he doesn't let him in. So beep, beep, I look behind me, couldn't see anything behind me. Then I saw that car come merging in behind him. Anyway, well, as he comes merging in behind him, the car that's behind me doesn't take it too good. Next moment, he's doing all these funny, sign language signals. Next moment, the car behind him, beep, beep, beep. And it wasn't like those polite, you know, those polite little beeps, you know, when you're waiting at the red lights and it goes green and they don't see you. It's a polite little toot. You do a polite one, you go, toot, toot. And then they know, oh, sorry about that. You know what I'm saying? But this wasn't one of those polite ones. This was one of those. So I moved onto the highway. True story. The guy at the back who couldn't get in swerves basically to the fourth lane and goes charging down the highway. The guy behind me who was doing, you know, who was doing that sign language, he goes in the far lane too and starts chasing the guy down the highway. I just went, hey, you know, guy behind me, where were you going? Where were you going? There must have been a purpose to the reason you got on the road. You were heading somewhere. You had a destination. You had a plan. You had an appointment. You had somewhere to go. And then because this other car, this other, you know, young guy, whatever, comes along, toots his horn at you, all of a sudden, you have totally derailed your purpose because of a distraction. And they're gone. Your purpose is too important to let anything else distract you. Your destiny is too great. The promise of God too sure for you to spend your time reacting, living in fear. What God is for you is far bigger than what you could ever imagine. Exceedingly abundantly, above and beyond all you can think, ask, or imagine. So the question today is, friends, are you going to live in response? Live in reaction. You're going to live in response to God or react to darkness? You're going to live in response to truth or you're going to react to lies? You're going to live in response to purpose or you're going to react to fear?
Thanks for listening. For more information, please visit forwardchurch.com.